الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال تعالى في مقام آخر وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us Ramadan al-Kareem as an opportunity to enable us to connect ourselves with Him. When the slave gets close to his Rabb, it is only natural that he asks about Him. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the ayah which I just recited, which comes in the middle of the ayat relating to fasting of Ramadan in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ Which means, and when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, then tell them, answer them, I am indeed near. When my slaves ask about me, I am near. I am near them. I respond to the dua of the supplicant, of the man making or woman making dua, when he calls on me. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. What does the slave do when he has been fasting for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as a result of that, his taqwa has increased and he feels close to Allah. He makes dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when his slave asks about him, he is near his slave. Just the asking alone. Who is Allah? What is my relationship with Allah? Just asking a question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am near to the person who asked this question. The very action of asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a means of drawing close to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that he listens to the dua of his slave and grants it, provided two conditions, that his slave is obedient and has faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ In Surah Al-Ghafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and your Rabb said, ask me and I will give you. Ask me and I will respond to you. Make dua to me and I will accept your dua. Verily those who scorn my worship, they will surely enter Jahannam in humiliation. An-Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhuma reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dua is worship. Ad-dua huwa al-ibadah. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is in Sunan Abi Dawud. And that is the reason why it is not permissible to make dua to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this month of Ramadan, let us make the most of dua. Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Ramadan is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is the month of dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you need with complete certainty that it is in His power to grant your dua and that He will grant your dua. And we say that not because of, I'm not saying that as my opinion, I narrated, I recited for you the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said that. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Talk to Allah. He listens and knows what is in our hearts and He can change our situation. Only He can change our situation. So ask Him and nobody else. Someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we make dua and in some cases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us what we ask for. In other cases we find that we don't get what we ask for. What is the meaning of this? Zaid bin Aslam radiallahu anhuma narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nobody makes a dua without one of three things happening. Either it is answered, or meaning the person gets what he wants or what he asks for, or it is stored for him with Allah, or his sins are forgiven because of the dua. And this is in Muwatta Imam Malik. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what is best for us, gives us what we ask for. Sometimes He withholds it for our own benefit. When we reflect on our lives, I'm sure many of us can reflect on this, certainly I can. We will see and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those du'as which we made very, very sincerely. We begged and pleaded, but Allah did not give us that thing. And today, a couple of decades later, you thank Allah that He did not give you that thing. Because if He had given you that thing, then you can imagine what your life would have been today. You need a bit of age for that, but believe me, it happens. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not, He withheld, and He did not give us what we asked for, but instead He chose for us what He wished. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. And He said, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ رِزْقَ لِعْبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. Allah said, and if Allah were to enlarge the provision of His slaves, they would surely rebel in the earth. But He sends down by measure as He wills. Verily, He is, in respect of His slaves, the well-aware and the all-seer. Believe me, I'm sure all of us can easily understand this. I don't say everything, but the vast majority of transgressions happen for one reason only, because we have the money to do it. If we did not have the money, if we were living on welfare, or if we were scrounging in the street or standing with a begging bowl, a lot of the stuff that we do today, we would not be able to do, because we simply could not afford it. But because Allah gave us the wealth, shaitan then misleads us to do what we do. I'm not saying ask for poverty, no. But understand that when you are asking for something, ask with afiyah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, always ask Allah bil afiyah. O Allah, give me this thing with khair, with benefit, with afiyah. Because the material by itself is neither good nor bad. Material can hurt very badly. We think we know what we want and we think we ask for the right things, but we don't know. And that's not all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject the dua, no matter what dua we make. He merely delays its acceptance in our interest, because He knows the reality of what will happen if it is granted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore in His infinite mercy, He forgives sins and averts calamities, and in exchange for unanswered du'as. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does He need to do this except to show us how merciful He truly is? And how wretched then is the one who is still ungrateful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps those du'as which are not answered, meaning not given in this world, with Him on the Day of Judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give His slave whatever he asks at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the dua, and He will say, you asked me this and I gave you. And then He will say, you asked me this and I forgave this sin, or I averted this calamity which was written for you. And then He will say, I asked you, you asked me this and there was no calamity at that time in your qadr and I did not give it to you. That dua is with me. Now ask me and I will give you. Now where is this conversation happening? On the day of judgment before the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah having said this, he said that if you realize the value of that, the value of what? Of making dua and not getting it in this life. He said if you realize the value of that, you will wish that you made dua your whole life and nothing was given to you. Every single dua of yours remained unanswered in this life. He said this is what you would wish for. That I keep on asking Allah and I do not get what I want. I do not get what I ask. And I keep on asking, I don't leave it. I don't get into despair. I keep asking because I know that all of those are being stored for me on the day which is the only day which will matter. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah said, there is no Muslim who makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without sin or cutting family ties in it. Meaning, making a dua for something haram. No, that is not accepted. But if the dua is halal and you are not asking for cutting of family ties in the dua, no Muslim who makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without sin or cutting family ties in it, but Allah will give him one of three answers. He will give him what he asked for, or he will store it for him in the hereafter, or he will divert an evil from him similar to it. And they said, in that case, we will ask more, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah said, Allah has even more. And this is a Sahih Hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. One of the Salaf, he said, when my dua is accepted, I am happy. But when I do not get what I want, when I don't get what I ask for, but get something else, I am 10 times as happy. So they asked him why. He replied, when my dua is accepted, I got what I wanted. But when I didn't get it, but something else, then I got what my Rabb wanted to give to me. And therefore, I am 10 times as happy. My brothers and sisters, it is essential to reflect on our lives and to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this access to Himself. Without any reservations and protocol, without any intermediaries and connections and connectors. When the slave places his head in sujood before his Rabb, there are only two in that equation. The Rabb and his Abd. That is what the Anbiya came to teach us, alayhimus salam, and that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Create your own style of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not put any conditions on making dua. We can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any language, in any state, in any condition, anywhere, anyhow. It makes perfect sense not to have any conditions about making dua because the slave asks when he is in dire need. And so he or she must be free to ask in any way and from anywhere. Language is one of the most powerful signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All languages are from Allah. Jalla Jalaluhu, and we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any language. Remember, however, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put two conditions. And He said, so let him obey me and have faith in me. All promises in the Quran are conditional. We need to fulfill our side of the deal. In one of the most beautiful examples of a slave, of a person making dua in his own language, and Rasulullah's response to that, we all know and we have all heard this hadith. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah once passed by a Bedouin who was making the following dua in his salah. And he said, Ya man la tarahu al-uyun, wa la tukhalituhu al-zunun, wa la yasifuhu al-wasifun, wa la tughayyiruhu al-hawadith. ولا يخشى الدوائر ويعلم مثاقيل الجبال ومكائيل البحار وعدد قطر الأمطار وعدد ورق الأشجار وعدد ما أظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار ولا تواري منه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ولا بحر ما في قعري ولا جبل ما في وعري اجعل خير عمري آخره وخير عملي خواتمه وَخَيْرَ أَيَّامِ يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِيهِ. Which means, he said, O the one whom eyes cannot see, who cannot be imagined, who is beyond description, who is unaffected by happenings, who cannot be overwhelmed by the twists and turns of time, who knows the weight of the mountains, the volume of the oceans, the number of falling raindrops, the number of leaves on the trees, and everything upon which the night darkens and upon which the day brightens. No sky can hide another from him. No surface of the earth can hide another from him. No ocean can hide anything within its depths from him. And no mountain can conceal from him anything within its rocks. Make the last part of my life the best. Make the best of my deeds the last. And make my best day be the one in which I meet you. Ameen Ya Rab. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed somebody to bring that person, to bring the Bedouin to him as soon as he completed his salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had been given some gold from a certain mine, and when the Bedouin came to him, he gave him that gold. And he asked him, which tribe are you from? The man said he was from the Banu Amir bin Sa'sa. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then asked him, do you know why I gave you this gold? He said, Ya Rasulullah, because of the family ties between us. Because the Banu Amir bin Sa'sa were related to the Banu Hashim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, while family ties have a right, I gave you the gold because of the beautiful manner in which you praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in Tabarani. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فَمَا بَعْدُ فَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, let us learn to make dua and to craft our own dua, something which comes out straight from your heart. It's not a matter of copying anybody. Of course, all the duas of the Quran, all the masnoon duas of Rasulullah, all of these are very beautiful, and we must learn as many of them as we can, and we must make those duas. But the real dua for you is the one that comes out of your heart. And only you know, and only Allah knows. The first dua ever made was perhaps the dua that Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam made when they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. This dua was inspired to them. This dua is wahi, was sent to Allah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them, and they made this dua. So that's the first dua, the dua of forgiveness. The first thing asked for was forgiveness. And in that there's a huge message, because seeking forgiveness is the beginning of all goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha asa rabbukum an yukaffir ankum sayyatikum wa yudkhilakum jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar yawma la yukhzillahu an-nabiyya wal-ladhina amanu ma'ahu nuruhum yas'a bayna aydihim wa bi-aymanihim yaquluna rabbana atmim lana nurana waghfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. In Surah Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described a scene from the Day of Judgment, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all as part of that scene, inshallah. Allah said, O you who believe, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance. It may be that your Rabb will forgive your sins, and admit you into gardens under which rivers flow. The day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disgrace the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who believe with him, their light, Allah is not saying light will shine on them, their light, Allah will make us luminous, light will emanate from us, their light will run forward before them, and with their record books of deeds in their right hands, they will say, our Rabb, keep perfect our light for us, and do not put it off until we cross over the Sirat safely, and grant us forgiveness. Verily, you are able to do all things. My brothers and sisters, we have many desires, we have many aims and goals in life. Ask yourself, how many of us have the goal to be among those who will cross over the Sirat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with light emanating from us and with the kitab, with the book of deeds in our right hands? Is this a goal? Is it anywhere? If I ask you, write down your life goals, is it anywhere? Seriously. Let me request you to put off your phones. I know you came into this hall to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I don't think He's going to call you on your phone, right? So turn the phone off. My brothers and sisters, all change begins with accepting that we need to change. And that begins with repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having transgressed His boundaries. As somebody said, if you keep reminding your heart of Allah, there will come a time when your heart will remind you of Allah. If you keep reminding your heart of Allah, there will come a time when your heart will remind you of Allah. I remind myself and you that when this happens, this is a sign that you are protected by Allah. Because to be reminded of Allah is to be free from His disobedience. The great Shaykh Mansur ibn Ammar rahmatullahi said, one night I went out and I thought morning had arrived, although night was still remaining. I sat near a small door. I heard a young man crying. Inside he was weeping. And he was saying, by your Izzat and Jalal, by your honor and Jalal, I did not intend to oppose you. I was not rebelling. By your Izzat and Jalal, I did not intend to oppose you by disobeying you. When I disobeyed, I did not disobey because I do not know your punishment, nor because I forgot that I will be punished by you, nor did I underestimate your sight, meaning I didn't think that I was hiding from you. But my nafs deceived me. Ya Rab. Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, you did not commit some sins because you were afraid that somebody among the human being would see you. So you were ashamed, you hid from them. But you did not remember that I was seeing you. So he said, by your honor and Jalal, I did not intend to oppose you by disobeying you. When I disobeyed, I did not disobey because I do not know your punishment. Nor did I forget that I will be punished by you. Nor did I underestimate your sight. I did not think that I was hiding. But my nafs deceived me. My misfortune overtook me. And your curtain that conceals my sins deluded me, lifted. And now who can protect me from your punishment? Whose rope should I hold if your rope is cut for me? Oh grief on those days that were spent in the disobedience of my Rabb. Oh, regret! How many times should I repent? How many times should I turn back? Now the time has arrived, and I am shy of my Rabb. I am ashamed to face Allah. Ya Rabb! Ya Rabb! Allahumma arhamna. Allahumma aghfir lana. My brothers and sisters, we share our secrets with the one we love. If we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is the trait of the believers, then we should speak with Him in secret. Confess your sins before Him and seek repentance sincerely in your own words. Shed sincere tears and keep your heart attentive to the words, and customize your dua according to your pain. The best thing about Islam is that you do not have to go to a priest to confess your sins. Share them with Allah privately and preserve your honor. Do not disclose your sins to anyone, not even to your spouse or your parents. Talk only and only to Allah. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, some people will say, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِينَ. Our Rabb, our wretchedness overcame us, and we were a people astray. My brothers and sisters, let us not become those who will confess on the Day of Judgment that indeed they had been astray. The confessions of the Day of Judgment are of no use. They have no value. The confession must be made here in this world. We need to learn our deen right now and make the most of our health and free our time. I'm not saying make the most of health and free time. Deen is not something you learn in your free time. Deen is not a hobby. Deen is not an interest. Deen is not your pet or your garden which you feed or you water. Deen is the essence of life. Deen is the purpose of life. Deen is the maqsad we live. When we read the stories of the Salafus Salihin, very easily we tell these stories. Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu anhu rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, I learned adab for 30 years before I learned deen for another 30 years. That is 60 years of the man's life, and he didn't start learning the day he was born. So what happened to his business? What happened to his whatever he was doing? We have to make choices. Everybody makes choices. Free your time. Take advantage of your health and learn deen. And learn what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And learn what calls for His anger. May Allah guide and forgive us and protect us, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is boundaryless. It's boundless. We only need to ask. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah says, whoever comes with a good deed will have the reward of 10 like it and even more. Whoever comes with an evil deed will be recompensed for one evil deed like it, or he will be forgiven. Whoever draws close to me by the length of a hand, by the span of a hand, I will draw close to him by the length of an arm. Whoever draws close to me by the length of an arm, I will draw close to him by the length of a fathom. Whoever comes to me walking, I will come to him running. Subhanallah. Whoever meets me, Jalla Jalaluhu, with enough sins to fill the earth, but not associating any partners with him, with me, I will meet him with equal forgiveness. And this is a hadith of Qudsi Sahih in Sahih Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say in his sujood, O Allah, forgive all my sins, the small and large, saghiratan wala kabira, the first and the last, the public and the private. Who is making this dua? The one who is already protected and forgiven for everything. The dua is to teach us how to make dua. In his sajda, he used to make this dua and say, "Oh Allah, forgive all my sins, the small and large, saghira wa kabira, the first and last, awwalu wa akhir, the public and private, alaniya wa sirr." And this is in a Sahih Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that all goodness comes from making thoughtful choices. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to enable us to do that, to recognize the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek comfort and courage in His mercy and forgiveness, and to remember that one day we will meet Him and answer to Him. On that day, nothing can help anyone except their deeds. Ramadan comes to enable us to repent and rethink and reset and reboot our lives, to make them obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means to live according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must study his life and live like he did and die as he did. That is what Ramadan comes for. Let us remember that and use Ramadan al-Kareem to start a new, positive, powerful, meaningful and fulfilling phase of our lives. I ask Allah for his help and mercy. Let me end by reminding me, myself and you, that this is the man, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who Allah Jalla Jalaluhu sent for our guidance, who suffered all sorts of privations and difficulties to fulfill his duty to his Rabb, and out of his love for us, his Ummah, people he knew, and those like us, yet unborn. We believe in him because without seeing him, and he made dua for us without seeing us. Rasulullah ﷺ said in a hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, "I wish I could meet my brothers." The Sahaba said, "Are we not your brothers, Ya Rasulullah?" He said, "You are my companions, but my brothers are those who have faith in me, although they never saw me." We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who Nabi ﷺ will recognize and who he made dua for. They asked him, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, how would you recognize those people of your ummah who have not been born yet? He said, "Supposing a man had horses with white blazes on the forehead and legs and white blazes, white socks and white blazes on the forehead, among horses which were all black, tell me, would he not recognize his own horses?" They said, "Certainly, Ya Rasulullah." He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "They would come with white faces and arms and legs owing to wudu. This wudu will shine on the day of judgment. And I would arrive at Al-Kawthar, my cistern, before them. Some people, however, would be driven away from Al-Kawthar as the stray camel is driven away. I would call out, 'Come, come.' And then it would be said to me, 'These people changed your religion. They change themselves after you.' And I will say, 'Go away, be off.'" I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be among those who will be allowed to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his house, and to greet him, and that he accepts our greeting and gives us dua, and to accept the cup of the water of Hawd al-Kawthar from the blessed hand of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, this is the man whose sunnah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the most beautiful thing for us to follow, and which converts our ordinary actions into acts of worship. He is the one who will be granted intercession by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, on the day of judgment. And we hope that he will intercede for us. Let us pick carefully who we love, because they are the ones who we will be with when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy for us all. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة